Small businesses across the country are benefiting from increased points of access to capital and the support they need to thrive. You can learn more at sba.gov.
Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, a very big football game going on Saturday. Actually, a couple of them in this state. Michigan going to Penn State in a game that's going to really determine what happens to those two teams the rest of the way. But all eyes will be on Iowa City and Michigan State trying to remain undefeated, 8-0, number 5 in the nation, number 3 in the computer rankings, believe it or not, and going to be facing the Iowa Hawkeyes, a team that some people thought was as good as any in the country at the beginning of this season. Very happy to welcome in a guy who knows a lot about Iowa and Iowa City. That is George Perlis, former Michigan State player, assistant coach, head coach, athletic director, and now a member of the Board of Trustees. Hello, George. How are you?
Hi, Jack. Well, it's quite a week coming up. Oh, boy, it's really a good one.
Well,
when you have all this going for you.
You remember what this is like. You had this in 2000, and, or you had this in 1987, excuse me, and that year, Iowa was the first Big Ten game. Michigan State had had a pretty easy non-conference schedule. All you did was play USC, Notre Dame, and Florida State. And then you got into the meat of the schedule with Iowa and Michigan right away. But that was a very, very talented Iowa team that had been ranked number one in the nation for a while the year before. And you went into Kinnick Stadium, pink locker room at all, and pulled out a 19-14 win that really got you going en route to the Rose Bowl, and you never lost again after that.
Well, that was a big, big game. I was surprised we went to the locker room and they had the pink walls painted, which, you know, in a football environment, that would make you think that you're not going to be tough enough.
Did you ever talk to Hayden Fry about that?
I never did. I just didn't want to do it. At halftime, I wouldn't go up in the locker room. We stayed downstairs so I wouldn't see that pink. And as of today, I'm very proud to wear pink because that's what...
Right, breast cancer.
Breast cancer. If that happened today, I'd be tickled to death to show pink. But then that wasn't the case then. And halftime, we went downstairs. I wouldn't go upstairs in the locker room where the walls were painted pink. We just fumbled the ball just before halftime. Lorenzo White fumbled the ball.
Right.
We went into the locker room. Probably the only game halftime talk I gave to the players would be for all your listeners, like any pool room they've ever attended. And we didn't correct any plays. We didn't talk about any plays. We didn't do anything that was constructive to winning the football game play-wise, but we got after him, and I was upset. And God darn if they didn't respond. They came out, they won, and we went on to the Rose Bowl.
A lot of big plays in that game that was really a deciding factor in Michigan State going to the Rose Bowl. Certainly Mike Sargent didn't catch a lot of passes, but he caught a big touchdown pass from Bobby McAllister. And I'll never forget to start the second half, George. You got the ball on the 20-yard line, and between a couple of sacks and a penalty, you wound up punting from the one. And you had fourth down and 29 yards to go, and Greg Montgomery was standing at the back of the end zone, and I said, oh, he's going to catch that ball and step on the back line for a safety. And he drilled that thing over the punt returner's head, and that changed field position, really changed the game.
Right. We exchanged field position on one play, and that's a big deal. But Hayden, I'm going to talk to him a little bit later this week. But he was quite a coach. He had quite a program. When I first came You don't know this, Jack, but when I first came to the Steelers, we used to go out and scout the different schools in spring practice. My assignment was the Big Ten, and I went to see Hayden at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "George, we're going to do the uniforms identical to the Steelers. You guys have just won the Super Bowl." And doggone if the uniforms still aren't the same. But I'll tell you, the guy had something going for him because they were competition when you played them.
Iowa played Michigan State 16 times during the Hayden Fry years, George, and Michigan State won 4 of those games, and you won all 4 of them. But when you think about some of the matchups, almost every one of those games came down to one play at the end. It was incredible. There was a 7-year string, and one call would have switched the outcome in every one of them.
Well, that's right. And Lorenzo, you know, nowadays we had a couple of players at the NFL. They tried to dive over the crowd, and they lost the ball midair. And
right.
There was controversy whether it was a touchdown or wasn't it. But Lorenzo had the ability to dive over and keep the ball without stretching out. And we needed that to play Iowa a couple of times.
In 1984.
One thing, Jack.
Yeah.
We want to talk about it later, but Norm Parker.
Yes.
Who was one of our coaches and had sugar diabetes very, very bad. Even 20 years ago in our locker room, he would take a needle for that sugar. But he just finally had his foot amputated.
Yeah.
And he's in the hospital. He's, he's super. But what happened, and people don't know this, is when we first went to Michigan State, with the stunt 4-3 defense that we had at Pittsburgh.
Right.
Norm learned it and ran it, and we had coaches from all over the country coming in to learn about it. Well, what happened is Ference came there. I forget what school he was at. It was an Eastern school.
He was at Maine.
Maine. He came there and learned it. And then we finally got the head coaching job and hired Norm. And Norm's been his man a long time. But also Phil Parker.
Right.
One of our ex-players is there at Iowa and now is in charge of the defense. I talked to Norm Parker yesterday. And what he'd like to do is go to the press box and work the game for the press box Saturday. And then go back to the hospital and get released the middle of next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the closest information I have about Norm Parker.
I appreciate that. I was going to bring that up in a minute because I just saw some video, George, of the 1984 and 1985 Iowa-Michigan State games. And in 1984... Michigan State was a decided underdog going down to Iowa City and managed to escape with a 17-16 win. Chuck Long was very sick and didn't play the first half, and he came out of the bed and he completed 12 in a row. And the next thing you know, Iowa has come back and cut the lead from 17-3 to 17-10 to 17-16, and they're going for a 2-point conversion. Jim Morrissey and Shane Bulla hit Chuck Long, and Chuck Long still swears he was in the end zone, and Hayden Fry kept a picture of that play in his office, and every time anyone would ask him about it, that was the one that got away.
I'll give you another good story. You know, Jack, the thing about football and athletics and stories are fine, but when I first went to the Steelers, one of my scouting assignments in spring practice, we all had assignments to go watch spring practice. Mine was, among other schools, was Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and Hayden said, "You know what? You guys won the Super Bowl. We're going to now we're going to have our uniforms identical to, because their colors are the same, identical to the Steelers. So instead of a 2-inch on the side of the pants, they did 4 inches like the Rooneys and the Steelers did.
They did everything but change the name of the team to the Iowa Steelers. But I wanted to talk to you for just a second about that 1985 game, and this is one that you see on the Big Ten Network, greatest games of all time. Didn't have the greatest finish as far as Michigan State was concerned, but an unbelievable effort that day. You had a backup quarterback. Bobby McAllister was in. Dave Urema had been injured. You had a lot of other injuries. And it really gave Iowa fits. Iowa was number one in the nation. And Michigan State finally scored a go-ahead touchdown on a run by Craig Johnson. And in the last couple of minutes of the game, here comes Iowa down the field. And they got a chance to run a play. They called timeout. And I was in the box, of course. Looked down and I saw Nick Saban. And he was as worked up as I've ever seen him, and he is screaming at your cornerback, do not bite on the bootleg fake. You could hear him through the glass. And, of course, the first thing that happens is here goes Chuck Long around the end. The cornerback sucks in. And I really think if Saban had gotten his hands on that guy, there would have been a real problem at that point. But, you know, people forget you came back down the field in the final 30 seconds and threw a ball into the end zone that Mark Ingram almost caught. It just looked like the Franco play, and it went through his hands.
Well, you're right. I remember it like yesterday. But you talk about, you know, when you talk about all these things, you know, it gets me how lucky and how fortunate we to have to Norm Parker as assistant coach, Nick Saban, Charlie Baggett, Larry Bielan, Buck Nystrom, Pat Morris, and Billy Rademacher, and goes on and on.
On and on,
and
all those assistant coaches. Yeah.
They were super, super coaches. And
head coaches get all the money, and the assistant coaches do a lot of the work, George, as you know.
Well, they did it all because I depended on them. Whenever they came up with things we should do, I always accepted them.
Last question I have to ask you about this game Saturday. Michigan State, 8-0, uncharted waters, going in to face a very tough Iowa team. Stung last week, made some bad plays, missed an extra point, missed a field goal, a couple other breakdowns, and here they lose to Wisconsin. So what's your take on this game Saturday and the matchup with Kirk Cousins and Ricky Stanzi? And these teams are very similar in a lot of ways.
Jack, I think it's going to be a nail-biter. It's going to be turnovers will be the difference, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a game that certainly can influence what happens to Michigan State the rest of the way. If the Spartans wind up in a tie with Iowa and Wisconsin, Michigan State would go to the Rose Bowl. If it turns out to be a tie, a three-way tie with Wisconsin and Ohio State, then it depends on the BCS polling because you get down to about the fifth tiebreaker. And if Michigan State takes care of business, it controls its own destiny. And then maybe we'll see you in California, George.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back with our final segment. Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.
Here's your updated Lansing area forecast for 1320 WILS.